Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hey guys, we have a very special episode of the You Up podcast. We do a full review of Love is Blind. If you don't want spoilers, turn it off right now and come back to this after you've watched the season. If you're going to watch and you don't mind spoilers, you're going to hear a lot of them, but I think it's a pretty entertaining conversation. Otherwise, if you've watched Love is Blind, check out this episode. We go through from beginning to end all the couples. Share it with a friend who's a Love is Blind fan because they're going to love it too. So check it out. Share it with a friend who loves Love is Blind. And if you haven't seen Love is Blind yet, be wary. There's spoilers.
Hello and welcome to the You Up podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana.
It's so great. This is a special pop-up episode so that we could bring you our commentary on the TV show that everyone is talking about.
Love is Blind. You guys keep asking. You guys are like, we got to hear some perspective on this show because I don't think like the difference, you know, with a lot of reality TV shows, it takes 2 years for the online infrastructure to build around a show.
Right.
Like now you can trip over a Bachelor podcast. You can trip over a recap. I mean, you guys invented the game.
I mean, you were one of the original
Bachelor recap hubs.
Right.
So now every chick and her mother has a Bachelor recap. Every Instagram account. So with a show like Love is Blind, with TV shows, everyone is like wading into the waters of TV shows. If we're talking about TV shows in general.
To add their commentary?
To like, well, first of all, when someone comes up to you and goes, you gotta watch Love is Blind, you go, ah, okay.
Right.
And then you need 30 more people to tell you until you
see it all over the place.
And see it everywhere. And then you're all of a sudden, you're like, it's Sunday. It's on my time. You don't want to get bullied into a show, but you do. When you get there, you do admit, you're like, I wish I was here earlier. But now, all the commentary that comes around it doesn't happen until, like, season three.
Right. Well, this is now Netflix. It's all up there. You can watch it all at the same time. I had so many people telling me that this show was, like, something to watch. At first, to be totally honest, I watched half of one episode. I was bored. I turned it off. I was like, forget it. Then, like, 16 people texted me, asked me about the show, and I was like, honestly, like, I don't really understand. The concept doesn't seem that revolutionary to me.
Sure.
And then they were like, no, just keep going. I got past the, like, critical mass of the boring, like, small talk in the pods.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a pretty addicting show.
Yeah, it is.
You gotta watch the next one.
It's like when then someone tells you to run, they're like, no, you gotta get to the runner's high.
Right. I never actually had that.
No.
But I see what I
need,
like,
the reality
concept.
TV high.
Yeah.
I would say I'm with you.
Right.
The Bachelor is my kind of like what I would compare it to, but it's not the same as The Bachelor.
It's kind of like 90 Day Fiancé meets like Married at First Sight meets like kind of The Bachelor.
If the Bachelor starts up here, starts high and then kind of slows down as the season goes on. Like
this
kind of starts low and gets high because you're working towards an actual wedding. I think the difference is The Bachelor ends and these two are engaged.
Right.
And then you go away.
Yeah. They don't have to get married at any. There's no like clause about when they need to get married.
There's no time ticking bomb.
Here's my big issue with the show is that the question it stands to answer, is love blind, is not actually the experiment that is playing out.
No.
The experiment is like, are you crazy enough to legally marry someone 6 weeks after you meet them, which has nothing to do with like, is love blind, is not love blind.
I agree with you. Let's go through the show because we want to make sure that if you haven't seen the show or if you're, let's go through the beats of it because I kind of took some notes.
Okay.
So we've both watched the full 10 episodes. There's supposedly a reunion this week.
Well, we just both learned very recently that it was filmed in 2018.
This was filmed in 2018, and they're all people who live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
So this is an interesting thing. It makes me more excited for the reunion because now we're 2 years away from when some of these people got married.
Right.
And we're wondering, are they still together? What has happened since?
Yes.
If I thought it ended 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, so did I. This is the most interesting reunion now because you're like, oh, enough time has actually passed that we get to get actual.
Totally.
Like reflection on what this whole thing was.
So the premise of the show, let's start with that.
Okay.
The premise of the show is that they're going to have 10, 20, I don't know how many.
20, there's 20, they start with 20 people.
Did they? Is that
right,
how much?
Yeah, it's 10 women, 10 men. They all are, they're living together for 10 days.
They're living
the separately women, yeah, and together. The women are living together. The men are living together. And
In what would could be best described as a futuristic. Remember that Jennifer Lawrence movie with Chris Pratt that didn't do well?
I kind of know what you're talking about. Like,
where they
I didn't
lived
see
in a
it,
spaceship
know, yeah.
and they woke up midway through the flight.
Right.
It kind of feels like you're in a futuristic version of the world. Like,
right.
like the world had ended and they were both moved into male and female fallout shelters.
Right.
Doesn't it feel like that?
It does feel like that.
So they're living on two separate wings of the house.
Right. They're living on two separate wings. They can't see each other. They have to walk into these rooms to speak to each other basically through a wall. It's kind of like being in a chat room, only you can like hear the person's voice and they're
yes.
like across the street, the thing from you. It's kind of like Catfish, but like you don't have a fake picture. You just have to imagine them in your
It's like if
mind.
We did this podcast with a wall in between us.
Right.
That's basically what the pods are.
Yes. Not exactly the most revolutionary thing I've ever heard, but fine.
And supposedly, because they really edited this up, they're going through basically doing a version of speed dating.
Yes.
Where it's like, I would be in a pod, you would be in a pod, we'd talk,
yeah.
we'd have a date, and then you'd have a notebook,
on to the
you'd
next.
Take notes, and then you'd move on to the next person.
Right.
And that's kind of where we start. And our and what we start figuring out is who's getting connections in the pods very early
right.
on. Like there's connections being made. There's people that you see in the background that like they don't
never
even
see
cover.
Again.
Like there's that one
right.
virgin. There's a guy they go, is anyone a virgin?
And it's like me.
The guy's like me.
And then you never see him again.
Yeah, they do one face to camera interview and it just looks like he just ate some woman. And they're like, okay, get rid of this guy.
There's the guy who's giving the advice who also
yeah.
supposedly okay, apparently also like there was more proposals than that. They just chose to only follow like some of them.
Which
they
okay.
got more serious or something.
So now we're also, the show is hosted by Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey.
I have to say, Nick Lachey is one of the worst TV hosts I've ever seen.
They feel like, I agree, they are awful. They have these long monologues that
right.
like never seem to end.
They have no personable sense of like.
They never seem to care about the contestants.
It seems very uncomfortable. I feel like someone was like. Like, Nick, do you and Vanessa want a, like, free trip to Mexico? I know you're not doing anything at all.
Yeah.
Like, if you
yes.
could just come on and, like, and memorize this, like, very short script and just say it, like, the same exact thing, like, four times.
Do you
You guys
think?
Can come to this five-star resort. And he was like, oh,
of
I haven't worked in 20 years. Like, sure.
Why wouldn't we?
Right.
I can get Vanessa a job, too.
Right.
You know, we both get paid.
Yeah.
And also, they keep doing this long thing and they come to the end. To find out if love is really blind. And like, you're like, yeah, you're in front of people. Like,
right.
talk to these people. And what really ends up happening in the first few episodes that aren't that great.
Yeah.
The first few episodes where they're in the pods, and we'll get down to the details in a second, but like, just to hammer down Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey, it's like they came down from Mount Olympus where they are the ones moving the chess pieces of these people.
Right.
And they're like they, it's like they know they give these monologues like they know the future. Like they're like they're like winking a nod at like, oh, well, we'll see if you peons can figure it out along the way because it's gonna get weird.
Right.
And you're like, shut the fuck up and talk to these people.
Just speak normally.
Just speak normally.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're the worst. That's all you. As a host, you just have to speak like you're a normal human
being. Be a little
being.
Bit their buddy. Like,
Nick, Chris Harrison. Like,
made
he's
me
like,
appreciate Chris
he
Harrison.
He says hello.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Hey, buddy.
Or like,
how we doing?
You ever watch Survivor?
I've watched Jeff Probst. I know. I'm familiar.
There's just like a whole different vibe of like,
yes.
You seem like a real person. Like, what? It's just like the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's like they came down from the Hollywood Hills to talk to these yes. poor loser idiots that can't find love.
Exactly. But the I just kept thinking, like, if I were Jessica Simpson, and I'm like, oh, thank God. I have an empire now, right? This is what my ex-husband from Newlyweds is now, and his wife are like doing. Like, I won.
To think that we watch Newlyweds.
Yeah.
You watch that
show. And everyone thought Jessica was like the dumb one.
Dumb idiot. Right? And it's like now she's a billionaire with a shoe empire.
Yeah. And Nick Lachey is hosting fucking Love is Blind.
Is reading
terribly.
Hosting it terribly and memorizing a 30-minute speech. It's 30 minutes of them talking.
I don't even think they're listening.
I wouldn't listen. I fucking fast forwarded.
Like, we're eating breakfast. Yeah. Can you finish?
Just tell us. We go in the pods? Is that what we do? We'll go talk to these people. Then their attitude is annoying. Like them coming down and being like, we'll find out if you guys can survive Love is Blind. That makes the contestants get a self-importance that annoyed me.
Yeah.
They keep talking about the experiment. The people that are contestants on the show bother me because they kept referring to themselves as if they were chosen by the government as the best and brightest.
Taking part in this experiment.
Yeah. Right. They found me. I'm a scientist, so right. I'm the big... Oh, they exactly. want to know how a scientist will go through day. No, you all had 2 months free to fucking do
right.
this. You're a bunch of losers.
You're like... literally half a step away from just having met someone in a chat room.
Yeah. And it's like they're talking like we'll get into some of the characters in a second, but some of these idiots talk like they were plucked from a like an SAT, you know, course that they scored the highest on.
Right.
And it's like no,
scientists. I love this idea.
Idea of just meeting and it's like dude, like all of you.
Right.
All of you are just dumb idiots that couldn't get on The Bachelor because you weren't good looking enough.
Yeah,
you were misstitched clothing that was sent to the to the outlets.
Speaking of The Bachelor, I thought that Jessica was Annalise. Do you remember Annalise?
I remember Annalise, and they do look
they
alike
look exactly
now that you mention it.
The
yeah,
same.
You're right.
I was like, did she come back and go on this show and pretend she wasn't on the other show and
they
rename
have the
herself?
The same face that looks like it was drawn by the cartoonist who made Big Mouth.
Right. And the same, like, I think they're both, like, pretty, but, like, they had also had the same energy, which is, like, older, desperate woman energy.
I agree.
It's the opposite of big dick energy. Again,
older, desperate woman energy. Yes. The complete opposite.
It's like a frantic, like
desperate. I'm gonna find somebody.
I'm somehow on this reality show, and this is like my last chance energy.
Yeah, you were in the middle of Duck Duck Goose, and you look like you're running around the circle. You're in Ring Around the Rosie,
yes.
And you look like you're running around the circle looking for a fucking chair.
Exactly.
But. To center on their looks, and I don't want it to become that we're not hammering their looks. Here's the thing about Love is Blind is that they're not as... No one on the show... Lauren is an exception, but like Lauren's the highest we get, is hot enough to be on The Bachelor. It is a different looking show than
Amber
The Bachelor.
Amber could have been on The Bachelor.
Amber
she wouldn't
could
have
been.
She wouldn't have been the hottest, but she could have been on it.
But... Even so, as a group,
okay.
we're saying
yes.
this was not a group you would expect. The men especially.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Barnett supposedly are
he's
hottie.
Like, yeah.
And he's like, fine. Like, you know, I'm not turning down Tyler C. For Barnett.
Yeah. I agree. But he's like now the star. Right. He's
so,
like
but he's the stud.
Yeah.
He's the lead stud in charge.
Right. Yes.
The other thing about the looks thing is, if you're going to have Love is Blind and everyone's a 7,
mm-hmm.
that kind of defeats the whole purpose of this experiment.
Right. It's more like, does race matter? Does age matter?
They made race
does
the big
whatever.
Thing.
It's like, not, but like, why does this, you still get to have to meet them before, yeah. It's not like you marry them. You do marry them based on the thing. Like,
well,
you
I guess the
kind
looks
of pair
did
up.
Come into it towards the end, but... I think you need someone that is societally considered ugly.
You need like a gremlin.
You need someone from the show 600 Pound Life to be casted on the
show. That's when you know if Love is Blind.
That's exactly.
It's like, here is this hideous monster.
Yeah. The show right now should be called Is Love 30-20 Vision?
Right.
Like, I don't even know the numbers.
Could you move 20% from like where you're expected hotness?
Would you go up to someone else in the bar that you wouldn't normally go up to?
Would you move two steps up or down?
This isn't love, this is blurred.
Yeah,
you know, it's not blind.
It's like if you got drunk and you like and your vision wasn't quite what it was.
I kept thinking when that door opens and they have to see each other for the first time, like the fact that all of them could go, oh, I can work with this.
It's also like kind of annoying that like, okay. Kelly, to get into the characters, was like,
"Let's read the couples."
All right, let's read. Okay,
because we'll go through. Do you want to go through each couple individually?
All right, let's do a little recap of each couple.
Okay, so we'll start with. You want to start with the least interesting?
Sure.
I would say Kelly and Kenny.
Kelly and Kenny are
the least interesting couple. Because at first I was like, they look like brother and sister. I think they're going to actually make it.
It seemed like they worked.
It seemed like they worked. They were not centered in the pods. We didn't get a lot from Kelly and Kenny.
Right. They were like thrown in after. Totally. Really, more.
And we were like Kelly and Kenny.
Very little drama in the pods.
Little drama till the end.
Right. In the end when Kelly suddenly like, oh, I'm much too hot for Kenny. Not true.
All of us were like, really? Right.
If anything,
even her mom was like, I don't think you should be leaving this guy.
They were actually pretty much on the same attractiveness level.
Totally.
And maybe he actually was maybe a little bit more attractive than her. She was all like, Kenny is someone I would like never go for.
And,
I'm like, why not?
Why not?
He looks like someone who I would put with you on your level.
Who I would put with a lot of people.
Right.
Not to say, you know, that they're both fine looking people.
They're both fine. But she was acting like she was like so much hotter than him, which I thought was weird.
If I had a friend that walked up with Kenny, I wouldn't spit out my drink.
Right.
You know, I would be like, what? And if someone walked up to me, you know, he could have said that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I felt like they were like pretty evenly matched.
What were you annoyed by with Kelly?
I was annoyed that she was acting like she was so much hotter than Kenny.
I know. Well, here's the thing about the show, and this is what I really wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
I don't think they should be showing this show at any of the women's marches.
I was actually talking to Eileen about that.
Okay. This doesn't, my perspective, and I want to.
I agree. It doesn't make them look.
It makes
doesn't
women
make us look great.
Really bad.
But here's the funny thing.
Here's the funny thing,
because for most of the couples, it's kind of like the women get this like thing that societally we've all like been trained to be like, this is the ultimate thing. And then once they get it, they're like, I got a lot of shit to change about this guy.
Yeah. and also, you do feel from all the female contestants, most of the female contestants, and I was willing to give benefit of the doubt to say, well, I'm a man. I'm looking at the men and thinking they're being normal because that's my normal life. And I'm thinking the women are crazy because that's not my normal life.
Yeah.
So that's why I was interested to hear your perspective, because I was like, maybe the men look bad too. But I got the feeling, I was like, the women, to me, like, I was like, this is a, like, Kelly is telling everyone on a show that's going to be on Netflix. That's not a national TV show. That is
global.
A global television show. She's telling anyone that will listen, I'm not really attracted, and I don't even think I'll be able to orgasm with this guy.
Yeah.
Like, that is the most insensitive. She was telling the hairdresser.
Like Giannina.
We'll get to her. We're starting with this is the most boring couple.
Right, yeah.
And I'm sitting there going,
Kenny seemed like a great guy after she dumped him at nationally in front of everyone, which I still don't understand why they had to do. She couldn't like send a text being Rob's not going
to
do this.
I have to assume.
They don't let you do that.
So basically the premise of the show, if we're going to go through it just so before we get into the couples, I guess. I'm sorry to the listeners if this is haphazard. We're just excited.
If you haven't seen it and you want to see it, there's a lot of spoilers here, clearly.
We should have said that at the beginning.
Right.
Maybe I should say, we'll tape something to put at the front.
Mm-hmm.
But they do the pods, and then they get engaged. They pair up and get engaged, and then they get sent off on like a mini moon. They go to Cancun, and then all the couples that get engaged together. Get into the mini moon in Cancun. Then they end up moving to the same complex in Atlanta, and all the couples are basically living in their starter home together. And then after they're in the starter home, they have to plan a wedding.
Meet each other's parents,
and then they get married. And they have this like kind of like haphazard wedding that's set up.
It's all in the same place.
And it seems like they're forced into, if they get to the wedding, they have to give their answer at the altar.
They've got to put the dress on. They've got to do the hair and makeup. They've got to pretend like it's a normal wedding, but then they just can, that's how they have to say, I will or I won't.
Exactly. Is love is blind, yes or no? And it's like, so if that's the game, I'm willing to live in the world of the game. I agree with you. When I first saw them getting to the altar and like going, I can't do it, I'm like, why would you put everyone through this?
Right.
Like, why would you? You had,
you're like,
your friends
you
travel?
Told them this like before. You had to get bridesmaids so that you could just be like, and I will not.
Yeah, it's weird. Right. And I'm like, who would do this to someone? But it must be that if you go to the wedding, you have to go.
Right. And they must know that it's like,
they don't do a good job, and this is back to Nick and Vanessa Lachey. They should have explained this a little better. That you get to this altar moment, and that's where Kenny says I do, and Kelly says I don't.
Yes.
And Kelly walks out. Her family's there. Kenny and Kelly's family like come together. They break bread.
They seem like a great couple.
It seemed like it all was going according to plan. And Kelly's basically like, I won't be able to orgasm with you. They never had sex leading up to this. This is also something that doesn't get talked about in The Bachelor, that gets talked about in Love is Blind. Sex is a big part of the show.
Yeah. I mean, I think sex is a lot of the times like a hormonal, pheromonal thing. So she was like, I'm just not feeling that. I just feel like you're my friend.
That's what she
like
said.
You're my friend, Kenny.
So then she walks out, and Kenny, I got to say, Kenny set himself up for an endless amount of blowjobs.
Yes.
From your
Even
mom.
Even Kelly's mom.
Yeah, Kelly's mom. Every mom
I love
in America.
This guy.
She literally says. So then he turns and he goes, He said it. I've never seen.
Kenny's the most mature person on the show.
And he looks even. And this is back to the male female thing where it's like he looks at the crowd. He goes, hey, today's not my day. I'm really sorry to make you all come out. Just want to let you know we're appreciative and I love you all.
Right.
To her family.
Yeah.
And then goes off stage and then they're still taping him. They're like, do you think the relationship will still go on? He's like, it's not the time for that.
He's like, I
really don't want to talk about this now. I'm just trying to get. And you're like, and they're like, do you think? And I'm like, Kenny. And here's the problem when a woman says, I don't feel it with him.
Mm-hmm.
I get DMs because I'm hearing from women on Instagram. And they're going, I heard Kenny's penis is small. Like, shit like that.
Okay.
And it's like, that's not fair at all. Like, I don't think women...
Well, why do you think Kenny wanted to marry Kelly, a woman who he had not slept with?
It seemed like they had a connection, I guess. Well, this is where it comes down to, like, this whole male-female thing, and what this podcast is a lot about, is, like, this goal of the marriage. Like, Kenny seemed like he was like, this woman is the match for me.
But she won't sleep with me.
It doesn't even, to him, it seemed pretty virtuous and, you know, like, I don't mean to put him on a pedestal, but I'm saying, like, it seemed like he was about her. Like, I don't think Kenny was going to have sex on their wedding night and go, oh, I don't know about this one, and get weird and stop texting her.
Right,
like it didn't seem like the game. Yeah. If you're going towards marriage,
well, that's
it's
the thing.
More than that. You for think you, about, but then these women are like trying to get to Marriageville, and it doesn't matter who's at stake.
But if you also think about like again, like there is this sense, and I think a lot of like female dramatic relationships, and again, like I don't think like this is a woman thing or this is like only women do this, but there is the sense of like it was almost, I think for Kelly, it was like too easy. She's like, I need to be fucked with a little bit. I'm the kind of person that goes on this Netflix show.
Well.
Right? I clearly need a little drama. And she was just like, and which it sounds like, oh, she's a lunatic, right?
But
it sounds like, I sort of understand where she's coming from. She's like, yeah, this seems like a good, normal guy. Everything's going well. There's nothing like dramatic about this situation. Well, there's nothing like,
Yeah, but
he's reliable.
Again, this is our most boring couple because right. we haven't even gotten to the crazies.
Right.
Okay. What was interesting to me is that Kenny had said the things that Kelly said to the camera, to the people he was around, he would be in the top crazies of the show. As a male, that would be very way more destructive than it was given credit for a female. Like okay. her saying, I don't really feel it. I don't think I think we're more friends. I think, you know, I don't want to have sex with him. I'm not attracted. She even brought up her ex. She goes, well, everyone would say that I was infatuated with my ex. Imagine if Kenny went on this show and was like, I don't really feel it. I don't really want to fuck
Here's
her. And I, you know, ask me about me and my ex. We were infatuated with each other. He'd be like, fuck you, Kenny.
Well, here's what I think the difference is. I think Kenny would have been out a lot earlier if he actually felt that way.
He wouldn't have stayed along.
He would have just been like, I think he would have just seen her and been like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling attracted. I'm like out. I think the difference that shows us the difference between men and women is that for her, like the sexual thing was more mental. And I think she was like, if this were a man, he wouldn't let it get that far. She's kind of like, trying to rationalize
maybe
I'll get there. I'm going to do whatever. Like a guy, like I think his penis says yes or no. For us, it's kind of like, tells you maybe.
You're right.
Your vagina is like, maybe I could work with this.
Maybe I could warm up to this.
Right.
The penis is like, get the fuck out.
That's why
penis is a dictator that's like, jump off her head.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He wouldn't.
Yeah, that's
there's
fair.
No man who would spend 6 weeks with a woman that he didn't want to have sex with ever.
I agree with you. I think, and you're like wondering, like, I guess it's funny because in a dating scenario, in a real world dating scenario, that maybe is more hurtful.
Right.
It's more hurtful
but
that a guy will fuck
quicker.
You and then leave.
Yeah.
In Love is Blind scenario, it's more hurtful that the girl will go to the altar even though she knows she doesn't want to be there and embarrass you in front of your friends and family.
Right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's JUVEDERM.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
That brings us to our next couple, which is Giannina.
So Kelly and Kenny do not get married.
They do not get married.
We'll find out more. So now you want to go to do we want to get Carlton and Diamond out of the way?
All right, I forgot about them. I watched them last week.
Carlton and Diamond. Carlton
was wrong. I think we can all.
Here's so they meet in the pods. Carlton tells the audience that he
used to be bisexual,
or he's currently bisexual, but he feels the vibe of a woman,
right?
in this instance.
Yes, he wants to settle down with a woman.
He wants to settle down with a woman, and Carlton holds back this information in the pot.
Before he proposes.
Then he proposes, she says yes, they go to Mexico, and Carlton is like, I gotta tell you something. And he handles it, the only thing to talk, he handles it
really weirdly. Because at first he just makes himself like overly sexual, right? He's just like calling himself daddy and trying to like make it almost more sexual to the point where he's like trying too hard. And she senses that like he's being really weird.
Sure.
Right?
And yes, absolutely.
So then she goes, the next day she's like, you're being really weird.
Yeah.
Like, can you just tell me what's going on? Because you're acting kind of like a lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, finally admits to this thing. And she says, normally, okay, let me like think about this. Let me process this. Let me have a minute.
Sure.
Totally fine. Totally like normal.
I agree.
Right?
Totally normal.
Right. So she thinks about it. The next day she sees him, she's like not like angry. She's just like, the more I think about this, like I do feel like you should have told me this earlier.
Totally understandable thing to say.
Right. And he's like, well, no one. And then he goes into like defense, ego protection mode. And he's like, well, no one but you has ever even like had any sort of slight issue with this ever. And she's like, well, if that's the case, why didn't you just tell me?
This proves so many of the theories I bring up on this podcast when I'm yelling and screaming,
which is
like the internet version of being good versus like the real version of conversing with people.
Right.
Because there's the language he was speaking, and any of you can go back and you can go listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's speaking in language that he feels the internet will take his side. He goes,
right.
No, oh, you don't,
you're ignorant.
You're
like,
ignorant of my sexuality.
Right.
You're judging me. He uses language that is you can't disagree with on Twitter.
Exactly. But all she's saying is like, let me take a second to understand
this.
I feel a little hurt by like not having all the information.
And he's looking at her and going, oh, so you hate bisexual people. You don't believe in...
Because no one else has ever had an issue with this but you.
Exactly. It's no, people in general need a minute to decide whether... And again, this is back to like... The Bachelor with Madison, she held out the information that she was a virgin.
Right.
And then people were like, you're going to judge someone for not saying that they're a virgin? Well, she's on a show for 2 months where the whole premise is that she's going to get married at the end of the 2 months or being proposed to.
That's an important part of her life
that it would be the same if she held out that she's a vegan. It would be the same if she held out the information that she was bisexual.
Right.
It would be the same. All of these things are the same.
And like we say with a lot of other things, like, if she was like, okay, like now I know that about you. I don't know if you're as much for me as you were before. I don't think that that's like makes someone like an ignorant, terrible person.
No,
that means
not
like
at all.
That's not a match for her. She's not saying no one should love you.
It would be so easy to make that person evil, though.
Right.
That's and Carlton tries to do that. He is the worst at it I've ever seen because no one took Carlton's sides. Everyone saw that he took it badly. And it's also a lesson for dating because I kept thinking of people going when she was like, you're acting weird. And we're all watching going, yeah, his whole thing has kind of switched into this weird, ultra macho, like trying to go against the character of someone he would maybe think would be with a man.
Right.
Like it was all drenched in this like over masculine thing where you're like, yeah, we can all see he needs a therapist. He needs to speak with someone. And it's like any of our dating stuff where you go, man, you're acting a little different. You're being weird. Your texts are coming in differently. You're making less plans. This could be related to anyone that's not, it's not everyone's hiding that they're bisexual.
Right.
Some people are just hiding that they want to fuck a lot of women.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why they're being weird. So it's like, to anyone out there dating, I want to stay on topic of we're looking at the show, but also like for this podcast, you see something, say something.
Right.
And
well,
it's
that's
not
what
personal
she did.
To
it was,
you.
It was
and
good.
He made it personal to you as a defense mechanism. He looked at Diamond and he goes, well, you're ignorant. You're this. When it's no. These are all your problems that have nothing to do with, like, I wanted to look at Diamond and go, get out of there.
But she did.
And she did.
Yeah.
And so the end of their relationship is that she's like, we got to break up. It's a broken up.
And he tried to make it like we had to, that it was because of that. It was not because of that. It was because of how he handled that, like pretty much entirely. Maybe it was also in part because of that. But that's also like, that's her right.
If he had come out and said, hey, I've been with men before. I'm also, I want to be with you because I feel like our connection is the connection. But I've always been bisexual. And she had said, now knowing that information, if he had been totally normal about giving that information, I still wouldn't blame her.
Yeah. I think going, it's kind of like we say, like, the guy wants to split the check. Like, you're entitled to be turned off by that.
And you're entitled to love it too.
Yeah.
Both ways. So their relationship ends, which also their relationship ending in the mini moon era is why I get biased towards some of the women on the show. Because
even though he's the one who clearly fucked up in that instance.
No. Carlton fucked up, and I'm saying,
right,
in the other relationships, now we have a proven couple that didn't work out.
Right.
Any of these people could opt out at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been done before. At any point, the people on the show, like, what is your end game if you're walking towards this engagement? So let's go to another couple, for example.
Well, let's talk about Giannina. Right.
So Giannina
and
is
Damien Powers.
Damien Powers? His
name is Damien Powers. Sounds like a
porn name. Yeah. I lived on Power Street. My middle name's Damien. Like, oh, okay. Damien Powers. Yeah. Damien Powers and Giannina.
Yeah.
Is that how you say
her
name?
That's how you say it. Yeah. He was the only man to get to the altar and say no.
Yes.
The only man.
Thank goodness for him.
Right. it's a little unfair that you're saying for all the women, like, they're crazy, and like, for him, like, good for him.
Okay, you're right. he's crazy for staying good, for walking towards the, you're right.
Right.
Because he should have, I can tell you the point where I would have ended it.
When she was, like, starting fights for no reason?
Yes. It, to me, Damien had the personality of a cardboard box.
And he was like, oh, here's a really, like, sexy, interesting person.
Vivacious person.
Right, who's going to bring, like, a little excitement in my life.
Totally. And it did feel like that. So in the beginning, so they meet in the pods, and then he proposed. I knew this wasn't going to work out at the proposal.
Right, you were very upset about
because
what happened.
He does this whole thing. He gifts her a box across the pod, and the box is empty, and he's like, I'm your present. And he has this whole prepared engagement speech.
Right.
And then she goes, oh, yeah, me too. I'm your present now, too. She, like, totally takes over. She goes, it's like if I came in with this, like, planned stand-up act, and I was going to do a 45-minute show.
Right.
And then after, you were like, well, okay, hold on. I can do one, too.
Everyone was like, wait, oh, let me give this a try.
And yeah. Everyone was like, okay. And it was just totally haphazard and not planned.
Right.
Because he had this whole thing. And then she goes, well, I'm as strong as you are.
I'm going to propose to you too.
And you're like, who is this for? What do you mean you're as strong as me?
Well, she clearly, like, has a thing about power or, like, not.
She
or
has a thing about
control.
Performing for the cameras.
Right.
That's what it felt like. At that moment, you're performing.
Right. Well, she gets crazier and crazier as the show goes on.
Yeah. I saw that proposal. Well, I guess because I think I knew through you that she gets crazier as the show goes on.
Right.
And when I saw that proposal, I was like, okay, I can see it, but maybe I wouldn't have seen it.
Okay.
If I didn't know. But I was like, I saw that proposal. I was like, that's everything I need to know. Like, if I got down on a knee and I proposed to Jess with, like, a whole thing, and I had a photographer hiding in the bushes, and I got her family to meet us afterwards, and I got my family to meet us at a big party. Like, I really put in the time and effort. And then as I get down on one knee, she goes, get up. I'm in control. No, I want the power. I want to be on a knee. And I go, I kind of planned this whole thing.
Well, the reason that, like, she did that is because Damien Powers is so, like, vanilla that she's like, I kind of need to, like, more drama. I'm going to, like, get in there. Like, you provided probably enough drama and, like,
But I mean,
on your own.
You're saying that if Mike got down on a knee
for
you,
I would never do that.
That you would go, okay, you would, and he had a planned thing, and then you go,
no,
gotta have a big thing too. Well, you're not gonna outdo me. That's basically what it felt like. You're not gonna outpropose me.
Right.
And it's like, well, he actually put a lot of thought behind this. He got the box.
He didn't seem to care that much about that.
He didn't care. He did, but I knew.
Right.
So then they get engaged. They go to the island. And
the fights start like pretty quickly.
Well, before the fights start, they have a romantic dinner on their porch.
She like seduces him.
She tells him, I haven't had sex in 253 days. She knows the exact number of days.
And I can't wait for my ass to be slapped like the waves or something like that.
Something like that. And she's like, I gotta fuck you.
Yeah.
It's basically and you're like, this is one of those things guys say that's not necessarily fair to women, but the idea that she knew the days, I was like, this is going to get wild. this is going to get crazy.
Right. I mean, she was the most mismatched. I thought she was way hotter than him.
Yeah. I mean,
that was one of the only, but she didn't really mind that.
She didn't mind that. I mean, she needs help with her extensions, but she was definitely hotter than him. And they definitely looked like they would never approach one another at a bar.
Right.
I also felt like Lauren was his
daughter. Like the way that they were interacting was he was kind of trying to rein her in. The way she was speaking to him was she was throwing these tantrums and
Well, one of the tantrums is when I would have been out because she had a tantrum in, she's in the kitchen and he's in the bed.
Yes.
And does this happen when they move into their apartment?
Yes.
And she says they're arguing and the camera is right on her.
Yeah.
Is facing her. The camera is not exactly facing him. He's in the bed. But it's on her in the kitchen. She goes, you know what I told you?
You know when you told me this was the best sex ever?
That's what she says. You know when you told me this was the best sex ever?
Did you hear me say that?
Did you hear me say that? And it's like, that's evil.
That was really mean.
Not just mean to say to someone with no cameras there.
Right.
You're saying that to the camera. She is literally performing at that point.
Right.
We don't even know if that's true, but she knows how destructive a statement like that is to create drama.
Yeah, she's terrible. She's terrible.
That was so...
He should have been out then.
Well, then at that point, this is when you know he's fucked up.
Right.
Because he goes... They fight about that, and then he goes, doesn't it feel better when we talk like this, like back in the pods?
Yeah.
He's like, does it feel better when we talk things out, when we don't look at each other? And she goes, it does.
It feels so much more intimate when I can't see your face.
Yeah. And
right.
then they they're doing their pod thing. Like, that's how they, resolve issues.
That's how the other, we'll get
it's
to
crazy.
The other ones.
Yeah.
But it's like, now it's like their weird, fear of intimacy thing.
Totally. They're the only way we can talk is if we don't, if we're in two separate rooms.
And then I can
and
say,
we reenact the pods.
Yeah, it's the only way I feel comfortable saying terrible, mean-spirited things to you.
Yeah, it's just, so him and Giannina go on. They have more fights like this. We meet her family.
Yeah.
And even her mom says something very interesting. She goes, now no games.
Right.
Well, it feels like this is a thing she does a
lot.
She
clearly has a very high need for drama
yes.
and performance and whatever. But also very skewed idea. I think she's 25. She's probably in that very much game theoried sense of what love is. When he withdraws, she's much more interested in him.
Sure.
When he says you're going to lose me, she's like, okay, I'm into this. And then when he's affectionate, she's like, I don't know if I really want this.
Yeah.
She's very much I'm 25. I love the drama. I don't really want this to be a relationship. It's really just about the push and pull of if you're into me, I'm not into you. If you're not into me, I'm into you.
It's confusion.
Which is what he said when he said no.
It's confusing drama for love, emotional output to love.
Yes.
And that's not the case. You know, love is more practical.
Right.
When you really get into it.
And you can tell where she gets that from when he dumps her at the altar and she runs out.
So they get to the altar. Damien says, I don't.
Right.
She
freaks out.
Kenny does a whole speech. Hey, I just want to make sure everyone got an Uber home. I'll pay for the Ubers. And Giannina is like, ah! runs out, is like doing my best friend's wedding,
yeah,
sprints out, falls her in the mud. Right.
Her mom follows her, yeah, and her mom's like, I can't believe you were the one to say yes, and he was the one to say no. Like,
it would have been better. Silly,
right, it would have been so much better if he was the one to say yes, and you were the one to say no. I was like, this is like the lesson you're trying to give her.
This,
like,
is what you're worried about,
right,
mom.
Like, now I'm like, I kind of get it, because she's like, it's all about winning. The mom's like, it would have been better if you won. She's like, now he won.
Now you
look bad.
You're like, the loser.
Right, and now it's like, okay, like, I understand now where, like, your issues with, like, intimacy and the way that, like, that relationships are supposed to work. With winners and losers and you know what I mean?
It's like, all fucked up. Right. And Giannina, her whole thing was like very much the performance aspect of her was very much, and it goes back to the proposal, I'm a powerful woman. She's speaking in wokeisms that are found on Twitter.
Right.
Like, I want to show that I'm a good person.
I'm an entrepreneur.
I'm a business owner. Right. Well, tell us what the business is. I'm sick of reality people.
Instagram pictures of herself.
Yeah, saying I'm a business owner and no explanation.
Right.
Tell us the business.
Social media manager.
I want to know. Yeah, you don't have to tell us how much you make.
Right.
I just want to know what we're buying and selling. What's the widget? Tell us now. Do you own a store? Let me Google the store. Right. Or is it you with your fake fucking business because your parents have some money that they gave you that you can live off of?
Yeah.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast 15.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's get into the love triangle.
So we're going to go. So let's go to Barnett and Amber, because Jessica's the one that you really want to sink your teeth into, I can tell.
I'm seething at the mouth.
I can feel it. So Barnett and Amber are... So let's start with Barnett.
Okay.
Barnett, when we first get to the pods, it's interesting to me that the guy that all the women are seemingly on Love is Blind to avoid is Barnett.
Well,
and then he ends up
with like
three women after him.
Right.
It just shows you that a male confidence, that whole like big dick energy.
Yeah.
It's not about, it is about looks, but like, I guess the way he speaks to women, They're all in. What do you think that is?
I think it's just like, and again, this goes back to like what I was saying before. It's the fact that he doesn't seem like he cares that much. They keep saying Barnett's like not really emotionally available. He's keeping things light all the time.
He's always joking.
Right.
His name, he doesn't even use his first name. He's Barnett from the South. Right. He's not Matthew Barnett.
He's going by his last name. That's how little he gives a shit about forming an intimate relationship with you. He's not even like presenting himself with his first name.
Totally. And Barnett bothered me in the beginning because he made one joke. He made one dad joke. And they're like, Barnett's hilarious. And it's like, he just did a joke my dad does after like when the waiter clears everything and goes, can I clear? Do you mind if we clear? I'm like, that was a dad joke.
He's the male version of like the hot girl who thinks she's funny, but she like doesn't actually. And they all knew that he was like, would be hot. Because like,
they knew he was hot.
Right.
And it's so funny. Like, he had a little bit of an accent.
Right.
He had a little drawl.
Yeah.
Like, I did like Barnett towards the end of the show. I do think that he's a nothing. Like, it's like,
he seems like pretty empty as a
person. It's an empty vessel that, you know, he goes to work 9 to 5. He probably does a CrossFit class.
Yeah. He's not thinking too much about any of this stuff.
He's never had to. Doesn't seem as though. Yeah. And it's like, that's his draw, though.
Right. And even the way that he picks the girls is kind of like, I'm not that into you, but like.
It is funny that he dates in the pods like a fuckboy dates in real life.
Right.
Like he's like.
Which is without the sex.
I'm just kind of like, just without sex. He goes, I'm really into you. He tells 3 different women that he's really into them.
Right.
He opens up to 3 different women in ways that they take more seriously than he does.
Right.
He said, because that's what it seems like.
It's not even like, it doesn't even seem that manipulative, though. It's kind of like how he just, and I don't think he's like thinking about it that intensely. It's kind of just like, in that moment, I felt like really into
you. He's a metaphor for 90% of the guys we get written in about.
Yeah.
On this show, where they go, well, he said this, this, and this. He must care.
Yeah.
And Barnett doesn't give a fuck. He's just saying these things.
And it's not that he's trying, like, Jessica takes it like, oh, he's trying to, like, hurt me. He's just, like, doesn't think about it. He just doesn't care.
He doesn't see.
It's always been so easy for him that it's never even been something that's had to cross his mind.
He doesn't see the connection between saying, I really love my mom and my dad and I have our things.
Right.
To a woman taking that as, wow. He doesn't say that to everybody. He has a hard time opening up.
Right.
Like he doesn't see the connection of that. And most guys don't. Like saying like, oh, you should meet my friends. And girl goes, well, he introduced me to the friends.
Right.
And then he goes, yeah, to guys, I've said this on the show before, but like if you introduce a girl to your friends and you end it the next day, your friends are going to go high five. You're back on Tinder.
Right.
You know, like they don't give a shit.
Yeah, and we're taking it as like having so much more meaning.
Totally.
He's like such a good example of that. And Jessica was the most frustrating person of all.
So Barnett has it in the pods, and this is before they've even seen each other. Like this is actually the most interesting part of the first 3 episodes is that Barnett has it down to Amber, Elsie, and Jessica.
Yes.
And Amber and him have this like southern connection that you can kind of feel.
She's also like doesn't seem like there's that much going on within
the empty vessel.
Yeah.
Elsie seems like she had some things going. Seemed like she had something to say, even though we didn't hear much from her. We didn't get to meet her as much. And Jessica, right from Jump Street, you're like, this is not a rational woman.
Well, the issue with Jessica is like, I was disappointed in her because she's so old that she should know better. Right?
And that's not to say that she's old.
No, I mean, I'm saying like, she's not for this earth. She's not old for this earth.
What is she, 34?
She's 34.
She mentions it 7,000 times. She's 30. I know her age better than I know my own at this point.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess now she's 36. But she's 34. And the annoying thing to me is like Barnett. I know Barnett. I've dated many Barnetts.
Yeah, sure.
Like, and I get the appeal. I understand.
Totally understood Barnett from minute one to the end.
Right. I understand Barnett's very well.
And I've from been like to Barnett's wedding. I get it.
From 22 to 27, that's probably who I was like going for in some sense. But Jessica is 34 years old.
Yeah.
Barnett is a guy that you date when you're 25. He's not, by 34, that's the beautiful thing about getting older as a woman, sure, is you start to realize things that are bullshit and things that are not bullshit.
Yeah, like the surface level things versus right, the deeper things. You know how to suss it out.
Yeah, and that's why you become better at it the older you get, because you're like, oh, this sign means like this person's interested, or you get to pay more attention to the things that people say and the things that people don't say and why they're important. And like for me, it was just like, you're still going for this guy.
Well, Jessica's also still speaking like an idiot. She right, is still going, I am this person. She does a lot of saying what she is before being what she is the whole show.
Right. Where I'm just like, I don't understand how you haven't like learned how to date by this point in your life. Like she Amber made a lot more sense for me for him.
Totally. And she also didn't have... You could see it with her friends. I mean, to get through the pods part of this. So Barnett basically comes to a point where he has to let some of these girls go, the three of right, them. So he can only propose to one. So he tells Jessica pretty early on, hey, I guess he did say to her, myself proposing to you.
Right. When she was explaining that, she said it, I think she took that in an entirely different way.
She took it as I'm being proposed to by Barnett.
She's like, he said that he wants to be with me.
I've got mine.
And he didn't really say that. That's what I'm saying. I, as like, now, like, as someone who's now a little older dating, I know the difference now between someone saying, I could see myself proposing to you tomorrow, and someone who, like Cameron, actually just does propose to you.
Sure.
Like her inability to tell the difference, or like to make a guy's words mean what she wants them to mean, to me is just like such a younger, inexperienced dater, like understanding of that.
It felt like, and at every turn, it felt like, because she mentioned her age so much, it felt like more than any of the other people on the show, the goal was, I'm coming out of this married.
Right.
And it felt like that hovered over every conversation she had. She came on the show, I will not be a loser 34-year-old unmarried wench. I will leave the show with something in hand to show my friends. Because she also, I mean...
But she was also not owning her standards. Like when I remember with her, she had a conversation with Barnett where he's like, you're not one of those girls that wants to like have a baby like right away, right? And she's like, no, like that's not me. Like, no, that is you.
Just say it's you. And so Barnett ends it with her, basically is like, hey, I'm going to let you go. And then it comes down to Amber and LC. He gets rid of LC. He ends up with Amber. They see each other. And you could immediately see the minute the doors came up where they saw each other, they're like, we're going to never stop fucking. We are two dumb idiot dummies who will fuck all the time and never speak and just grunt at each other in between sexual encounters.
Yes.
And that's kind of what happens. They go to the island. They fuck a bunch. Every time they talk about sex, they pan to them and they look at each other like they just stuck fucking gerbils up their asses. Like they're always like, oh, sex. They're like, Amber's a little annoying in that sense.
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh.
She's a little much.
She's a little much. Amber then like,
I'll kill you if you don't pick me.
Exactly. Yeah, that type of shit. And Amber's doing like cutesy shit where she's like, basically they end up getting married. I think we have to go back to do Jessica now. But like I to get through, Amber also is 20,000 in debt, never graduated college, says she works to live. She doesn't live to work, which is what people with bad jobs and no jobs say.
Right. That is the classic. Basically, I am financially irresponsible is something that is what that means.
Yeah, it's a fancy way of saying I'm a loser.
Right.
You know, so, yes. So
I'm not like one of you idiots who makes money and has a 401k.
Ugh, I don't keep to life standards.
Right.
I live my own life. I'm a bag in the wind.
I take out student loans and then don't graduate from those schools.
and then put off payments until they rack up and cripple me with debt, so I'm living in a fucking car in Walmart parking lot. Yeah. We don't buy it, Amber.
I'm kind of surprised that Barnett married her.
I'm not considering he's all like.
It was like the least fuckboy move of the biggest fuckboy that I felt like they were epitomizing.
Totally. I mean, I agree with you, but also it did seem that Barnett had, and this is a big thing for this podcast, it's like he kind of had that one square that hasn't been filled in his life. He's like, I got my dog. I got my apartment.
Right.
I come home. I got my job. I got a beer. I'm saving up.
Right.
I just got to get my girl.
And also this girl like doesn't really care that he's like kind of like average and all those.
Yeah,
other
he doesn't give
she thinks he's like amazing. He's like, I think he said that he's like, no one loves me like this girl loves me. Like, and
totally.
I'm pretty. And deep down, I'm sure he knows he's like pretty like average.
I mean, she spoke about him and he spoke about her as if he was, Jeffrey Bezos's son.
Right.
Like he had like the home was nice.
Yeah.
The parents were nice. The brother talked to him like, you're going to lose all your, you're going to lose your trust fund. And it's like, what? This castle, this McMansion in Atlanta that costs what? $1.5 million? Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So like, but then he goes to her part of town and he's like, her part of town's a little rough. And you're like, yeah, this is like a fine neighborhood too. I get like, they made it seem like it was, I think to them in their smaller worlds, he's the savior.
Right.
And he gets to be the king of her.
And he like kind of liked that, I guess.
Of course. Yeah, right. Why not? And she's hot. And right. I'm sure she gets, you know, she's fucking crazy in the sack and she loves sex and right. All that stuff. Like, they are sexually compatible, it seems.
Yeah, I guess it made sense. Anyway, they wind up getting married.
They get married.
And then our least interesting couple.
Well, then we got to go to Jessica.
Right.
And is
yeah.
It, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll finish.
Because then we
yeah.
can. Because to me, Lauren and Cameron are what the show would want to show off.
Right. They're like, oh, this works. We've got, like, a biracial couple. Not totally. Biracial. Interracial couple.
Basically saying like love is blind.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, and to me, like, you know, I understand why that is all there,
right?
You know, like, this is the one that they can go look at and like, as if we've never seen an interracial couple, you know,
right.
Like, whoa! Like, it's almost more racist to be surprised by them to then, like, I'm not surprised they got together. Like,
yeah,
he's like, and Cameron seemed like he was ready to go too.
Yeah,
I mean, we can talk about Lauren and Cameron.
Yeah, I mean, Cameron, they have this, I guess, they have one intimate conversation. And he's like, okay, it's 3 days in. I'm ready to end this thing early.
Let's do it. Let's just pack it up. And Cameron seemed like he's like totally on board. He meets the parents. He's great to the mom. He's great to the dad.
Right.
The dad, they make him out to be this like racist guy.
Yeah.
They make Lauren's dad out to be like a Black Panther or some shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, he's great. Like, they get along well. And he's like totally reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, and then they end up getting married. And the whole thing is like, can Lauren give up her life as a content creator? It's like, yeah, she can find
right.
a space in Cameron's mansion for her Lumi life.
Her light ring. You know, like, that. She was like, well, I have my light ring here, yeah. So I don't know if I could ever move.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay. But it did. There was moments where Cameron did come off like...
He was a little creepy sometimes.
A little creepy. He came off like he was in the movie Get Out 2.
Right.
Like, he's like, this could be your home.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I love black women.
Yeah. He's right. Like, he just keeps going on and on about it. It's like, enough, dude. Sounds like a fetish at this point. You know, like,
right.
You're being a little much. But, like, so they get married. We'll get rid of them.
Right.
They Lauren and Cameron get married. And it seems... like, there's love there. It seems like the wedding was fun.
Right.
It all... That's what I think Love is Blind would want to hang their
right,
hat on.
That's their poster couple.
Totally. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well,
Good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now we have Jessica and Mark.
It's a lot to unpack there.
Jessica gets dumped by Barnett in the pods.
But she's like, I am not leaving here.
She doesn't take the dumping well.
Yeah.
She, like, even in the pods, she's like, you can see that she's, like, annoyed by this. But she needs to come out of it with an engagement.
Right. Which, again, weird thing. I think at this point in her life, you'd think that, like, she wouldn't just be like, okay, well, this other guy really is into me, so I'm just going to do that.
She meets this other guy, Mark, in the pods, who, as she's getting to know
Barnett, he's 10 years younger than her.
He's 24, and they talk about the age. Mark is totally upfront about his age. He's, like, totally cool with it.
Yeah.
She says she's 34. She's like, how do you feel? They're cool with it. She gets dumped by Barnett, and then Mark is all just waiting there and in love with her.
The best thing about Mark is he goes, I don't play second fiddle. And then he's like, but will you marry me? He both says something that's completely untrue, clearly, because and then just like does the complete opposite.
But he does. Yeah. It seems like he picks and chooses where he takes his mantras from.
Right.
He's like, my mom always says, you let someone go. I don't play second fiddle. And then he's like, and if you let someone go and they come back, it was meant to be.
Well, that was the funny thing also about, like, it just shows like the bullshit about like these, like anyone giving you love advice or anything like that. Like Amber's with her mom. They're about to walk down the aisle and she's like, if something is like worth it, then you fight for it. But also like, if it's not a match, then let it go. She's like, so what are you telling me? Telling me that I should fight for it? I feel like I'm doing both of these things. Like,
I wanted the mom to look at Amber and go, get your debt taken care of.
Right.
Just get it paid off. Let him pay off your debt,
and then you'll figure it out later. Same kind of thing where it's like you feel like you have some sort of theory, but like none of this shit makes any sense.
None of it makes sense. None of it's easy. I don't know why any of us are getting in relationships. Like I actually came out of this show going, what are we all doing? Why are we making? We're all volunteering to make our lives harder.
No, because some of them are so much happier.
Are they?
Like, some of them.
I'd be happy with my phone.
Lauren seems pretty happy.
So, yeah, they seem, I don't know. So, Jessica,
I think, carries this whole show. I think without Jessica and this, like, weird love triangle thing, I would have been, like, out many episodes
ago. I don't know. The producers, every time Jessica did something, I could just imagine the producers high-fiving.
I feel like she got like a terrible edit, or maybe that's who she is.
I don't know because so Mark proposes to Jessica, and even in the pods, everyone, we're all watching going, this isn't going to end well. So they end up going to Cancun together. Jessica says to him right away, I don't want to make sure that like we're not having sex.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm cool with it.
Totally cool.
Totally cool with it. And you're like, okay, Mark. And he's like, and she's like, I just need the physical to amount to the emotional. And as Jessica, like, it does feel like Jessica is acutely worried about what the outside world thinks of her.
Yes.
Every moment, I'm 34 and I'm single and I'm not married. I'm 34 and I'm single and I'm not married. Whoa, what will they think of me?
I'm 34
marrying
and dating a
24-year-old. Right. Oh my God, what will they think? Then they get to the island. Barnett and Amber are fucking like jackrabbits. And she's like, oh, I just don't think it's... I mean, I just wouldn't want to be that way.
What will the other girls think of me that I haven't... But I also haven't had sex. So like I'm worried. She's comparing her life constantly to like all the other people.
To everyone else. And it's like... You do kind of get like PTSD from relationships. You're like, oh man, I remember dating a girl like this. Like there's moments in this show where I'm like, ooh, like the Gianna moments and the Jessica moments. Like I do have moments where I've dated people where I'm like, I got that like shiver down my spine.
That was my Barnett moment where I was this shit used to work with me.
Yes. So then what happens on the island or in Mexico, we see that Jessica loves to have some drinks.
Yeah,
she's drinking.
Oh my God, She has a glass of wine in her hand in every shot. And as the scenes progress, she, like, her face, I've never seen a person so clearly in their face, like, wasted as she is.
Yeah, she ages 80 years over the course of the 6 weeks production.
I think her, like, tongue turns purple from all the red wine that she's drinking.
And she goes up to, like, she has these moments in Cancun, like, right off the bat, where she's like, she's outwardly saying, I'm not physically attracted to Mark.
Yeah.
And I'm not physically in it. I'm not physically in it. And then she's saying to other people, you know, Barnett's hot, but he's. And then she's like, you know, she's basically referencing how hot Barnett is.
Yeah.
And telling that's a guy everyone. I usually go to. But then she'll do this weird female thing where she'll go, she'll be so passive aggressive where she'll go, yeah, Barnett's hot, but like, ugh, so immature. Like, who could ever be with that? Like, ugh, he's a different person off the than he was in the pods. It's like, what?
Well, it's due to her insecurity. It's kind of like, it's not. I don't know if I call it a female thing, because Carlton does like,
sure,
like
right.
The same kind of thing too, where he's like, you know what I mean? He's projecting his own insecurities onto the other person. He's making it their fault. Where she's like, she's like, I think she's really just mad at herself that the guy she keeps being attracted to are these like douchebags that treat her like shit. And she's like, if only I could be attracted to Mark.
And everything would be worked out.
If only I could if I could be attracted to this guy who really likes me. Like, life would be so great. And that's why she keeps sort of trying. But she's like also kind of trying to sabotage it, but also to keep it.
Then they move into these apartments and their starter homes. Also, the starter homes, if I could just say, they are like the worst, most depressing divorced dad apartments I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're like little weird apartments. Right.
Just really depressing. Yeah. And so then they have Barnett's birthday.
Yes.
They're
now like friends. They're not like the people from Friends.
Yes, Melrose Place. Right. Amber's going to throw Barnett a birthday party. And they're all going to go there. And Jessica, I would say Barnett's birthday party in the episodes of TV Lifetime.
Pretty good.
See, episode 6 of Love is Blind might be one of the best hours of television I've ever watched.
That's a really good endorsement.
I would say.
And you've watched hundreds of hours of The Bachelor.
Millions.
Yes.
I would say if anyone's seen The Office, the dinner party episode of The Office, it is the same amount of cringy and the same amount of entertaining as that episode, but the reality version of it.
Right. Yeah.
Jessica at one point gets really drunk,
she carries the show a little bit.
She comes over to Barnett, and what does she say? It's like,
she's like, I just want to make sure that like you're really happy. Like, how are you feeling? Are you feeling like super happy? Or like, are you feeling like maybe you're not super happy? Because like I'm here and like I'm pretty drunk.
Yeah.
And like I like felt like we had a thing, and I was wondering if you still like remember that.
And dopey idiot Barnett's like, what? I love my wife.
Right. She's like, I just feel like I bring out, like, maybe she doesn't bring out like a super like insightful version of you. Like,
yeah, that was the device of it. She tried Barnett's such a fucking
she's
idiot
trying
that
to
she
plant
was
plant seeds in something that's not fertile.
That's not exactly. Right. She's like, she's going to a dry desert to plant a fucking orange tree.
Right.
And she's like, she does this thing like as if he's gonna go, you're right, I was more insightful with you.
Right. Because if that's something that he values or even wants to be more of.
Or that she even is a person that brings that out of people.
She's
what
like,
a thing to elevate herself and down someone else.
She's like, I have a real job. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Cool. Yeah, I have a job too.
And
I
he's literally just sitting there, I think, trying not to laugh, maybe.
He's like, trying also
it's
to
almost,
be...
It's almost, it's a very pathetic moment. It's like very sad.
It's brutal. And he's trying to also... He knows she's flirting with him. That's the one thing he knows. Because she is. She's being flirted.
Yeah, she's like leaning toward the body. If you look touching at just the body language in that thing, he's like looking like straight. And she's like maneuvering her body, like sort of hiking up her skirt a little bit.
Totally.
Like trying to like almost, it's like a very pathetic moment in TV history.
And Amber sees this and like, you know, he even says, like, there's moments where they're like, yeah, this is like an awkward moment.
Right.
And then they have another encounter where they meet on the roof.
After that. Right.
And it feels like Bart, she's like, I just want to
She's like, someone may have said that I'm like into you.
It's like what you do when you get too drunk and you black out and you have to like, and you go back to that group and try to like fix everything.
Right. But she did it like very like, just like. Badly.
Well, she starts out by going, I just want to get everything straightened out with Barnett. And he's like, And they sit on the roof and she goes, let's just straighten things out. And he even says, he's like, yeah, if there's like still a thing here, I'm like engaged and I'm in that. And she's like, oh, what are you talking about? Was I taking?
What could possibly make you think that I'm What?
Me? Who? Oh, me? Jessica?
Right. That's another reason why she's so annoying and like pretty pathetic, is because she's just like not owning up to, she could have, if she was just like, hey, like,
I fucked up.
I'm having like a really hard time with this entire like getting engaged to this man that I don't like, and I have to sleep in the same room with him every night, and I'm supposed to marry him in 4 weeks, and like, I'm like freaking out, and like I remember I felt I was like jealous. I'm extremely jealous of you, and I just like I'm not really sure how to deal with it, but sorry if I made you uncomfortable. Like that's what she should have said.
That's the normal answer. Instead, she plays the fake.
I'm just so happy for you.
Oh, you don't even understand. It's like this like fake, when you know someone's being fake to your face and you have to go along with it. Because he's like, oh, okay, just making sure.
Please,
you know,
just like, she's go like, away. Oh.
And then making him the loser for even thinking that.
Right.
Because she's in the land of right.
But also that night after that birthday party, she goes back with Mark, who's like trying to like be nice to her, and she tries to twist what he's saying about.
She is the queen of twisting
Giannina,
language.
Was it? I forgot who it was. She was like, Giannina's the best,
and he's like, she's nothing like you, and she's like, why would
she's
you
like,
do
that's
that?
That's my friend.
That's my friend. Yeah. He said
she's like she's the second best. You're the best.
Yeah, he's and trying
like,
to be nice,
and she's like, took it like she was like trying to like. Be flirty with her, like make inappropriate sexual comments about her.
Yeah,
he was like, she's like, that's my friend. Are you saying sex? My friend is like great sexual. Like, I think Barnett's like incredibly hot, but like, you don't hear me talking to you about that.
Yeah, it's insane. She does this. Well, here's what she's trying to do, and I've done this, so I know it when it's being done. She is trying to get Mark to dump her.
She
doesn't want to be the one that's sitting there going, she doesn't want to be 34 and not married, who turned down someone who wants to marry her. So that's Jessica's whole thing after they get from the honeymoon until the altar. She tries to do that the whole time. So it starts with her going, you know, with him talking about like, Giannina's second to you. And she's like, how could you say that about her?
I mean, this is a rare case of a female really gaslighting a man.
Totally.
She's trying to make him seem like very crazy when she is, in fact, like being extremely manipulative and almost like verbally abusive to him.
Totally. The best is when they go back. So they go back to her house.
Oh my God. She's feeding the dog wine.
She's feeding the dog wine. She's drinking the wine. And then she goes, you know, I'm 34. I'm going to want a baby right away. And he goes, I love it. Cool. I love babies. I just love you. I want to have your baby.
What happens when I'm 40 and you're 30? He's like, that's cool.
That's cool. That's how math works. That's how aging goes.
What happens when I'm 90 and you're 80?
Well,
like,
my mom's 90 and I'm this age. Yeah, that's right.
She's like, well, I really don't like that you like love your mom.
Yeah, and then she makes it about the mom. And then he goes, you know, my mom's like that. She's feisty. And she goes, are you trying to make me your mom?
I'm not going to be your mom, okay?
And it's like, you are fucking crazy. You are trying to get him to dump you. She was trying to do tattoo lose a guy in 10 days.
But also, like, who is crazier, her or him? Who's like, I've met the woman of my dreams.
Yeah,
I'm so lucky. I feel so blessed that I'm with this person who's just emotionally abusing me every day and will not sleep with me.
In the same way
no
that I would
interest
give,
in me at all.
In the same way, I would hope Giannina would grow out of. I'm a business owner and I'm a woman who's powerful at 25. I would hope that Mark would grow out of, I will just want to be in love and want to be with
anyone
that
will be with me.
Right. Like, I would hope that, because he is crazy.
He would have gone through it. That's like the scariest part, is that he would have, like, he was like very excited to marry her, and then he cries in his mom's arms.
Well,
but
then you meet the mom and it kind of makes sense. He's kind of feels like he's been mommed his whole life.
Right.
It feels like he's trading in one mom for another. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, because you look at the way he lives. It's so funny. She goes to visit him in his apartment, and he's got a roommate, and the girl. He lives with his roommate and his girlfriend, and they're all having Bud Lights on a futon
with a beanbag chair.
With a beanbag chair, and Jessica's just sitting there like, I guess this is my life now. And then they go to Jessica's place, and she owns an apartment, has a dog,
right?
And Mark's going around being like, this is awesome. No curfew. Oh, shit. And it's like, You know, you're just like, oh, and then they go to the mom, they go to Mark's family's house for dinner, and the mom's like, I'm the mommy. And like the mom is from a telenovela, and she's like, I just love that. I'm the number one. I get to sing in the queen's chair. And you could see that there's going to be like a little bit of weirdness between her and Jessica. And then the mom is obviously in control of this whole family. And she's like, and you can see Mark is just like in this position where he's like, I got to find a new person to make my bed.
Right.
It does feel like that.
Yeah. And she's, again, just trying to do anything she can to make him like, get. I don't know why she won't just dump him or leave.
Because she can't turn down.
Right. There's something inside her that won't let her do that.
You can tell how she's much like, Jessica cares about what people think when her friends.
Oh, yeah.
They're her like, friends meet up for drinks, and it's like...
She expects it to be this, like, dramatic thing.
And she goes, I'm 34, and here's the thing, he's 24.
And they're like, okay.
They're like, okay, but then they go...
Nick Jonas. Priyanka.
And then
you said you like them, remember?
Heidi She's Klum.
Like, I did say I like them.
It's like...
You're right, I did.
Well, if Heidi Klum can do it, right. Why can't I?
Right.
And it's like... You're a fucking idiot. You only care about what the... You think... Jessica thinks, and she might get her wish now, that she's on the cover of Us Weekly, and people care about her life more than they do.
Right.
No one gives fuck about your
life. We've all had those moments where, like, what... Like, I have to do that. Right, yeah. But she takes it to, like, a new level.
She thinks every moment of her life is what will everyone think.
Right, where if she didn't make it weird, no one else would make it weird.
No, she'd go, I just love this guy. He's 24. It's crazy. But, you know, we're going to go through with it. He says he wants to have a baby ready. If she was into it, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
She wasn't into it, and she can't turn down a guy who's going to propose because she knows if she brings that to the brunch table, they're all going to go... Well, you've already turned down love.
Right. And she's trying to do whatever she can. And it's so funny. Her last little kick is like, and I'm going to need a prenup.
Yeah. What do you think about a prenup?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know why she keeps bringing up all this stuff. I guess. You know, like, so then they go to the altar. She says no. She didn't even have family there.
Yeah.
I mean, their wedding, all the weddings are pretty bare. Their wedding, more than any of them, looked like a movie that was out for 6 months already.
Right.
Like, there's empty seats. She's got a few friends.
She, like, didn't even tell... Right. She didn't tell that many people.
No.
I thought maybe she was going to do it, because she was like... But then she was like, oh, of course I was never going to do that.
Yeah.
She's like, there was just no way I was ever going to do that.
Well, that's why Nick Lachey and Vanessa are such horrible hosts. We should have known going in. There should be... That being said, we've gone through all the couples.
Mm-hmm.
How would you fix the show? How would you change it? Would you do anything to it? What would you do?
I would give more context about, like, better hosts,
the
as
rules,
we said, right?
What's
the rules.
Going on?
Yeah, but how this works, where these other couples went.
Yeah.
Also, like, again, I don't really think the experiment is
the show.
Is Love Blind.
No.
Like, it would be Is Love Blind, like you said, if there was, like, a 600-pound person on here that like seemed by societal standards like unlovable or something like that. Here's this person with like a big rash on their face.
Yeah, whatever it is,
yeah.
We need someone that has been affected by sight in their life.
Right. The experiment is really like, will you date someone that you don't really know that well and
listen,
then marry them?
We're two people that anyone can be hot to anyone. Like,
yeah.
I don't, this isn't to disparage someone who is 600 pounds.
Right.
But if you're out there and your confidence has been ruined by something in your life or on your body or on your person, we all have our insecurities. Some people's insecurities get in the way of their mindset so much that they don't believe they can find love.
Right.
That's where Love is Blind would come into me. That's why they're going to hang their hat on the Lauren and Cameron relationship, because they're like, okay, love was blind to race. And it's like...
Right. It's more like this just happened to work out.
This happened to work out.
I also think it's funny that apparently the producers didn't expect so many couples to get engaged. Like, there were more couples than this that got engaged. They just chose to follow, like, some of them.
Okay.
Which also just goes to show, like, how crazy people are, how people will do anything in this day and age to get on TV.
Totally.
Like,
well, I did see the one thing I'll say for the experiment was taking away the phones and the distraction.
Right.
I think that is, like, a big part that they didn't hammer home enough. Like, if this was called Love is Technology-less... You know, like I would believe
that would be a more interesting show
if they were like, now we're gonna give each other your Instagram and go through the DMs.
Right,
and
that's, it's like, the more interesting part. The more interesting part was like with Giannina and Damien when they get back, and he's like, "You're constantly on your phone." Like,
yes,
like you. And then I can't even have a conversation with you. And she's like texting while he's doing. Well, I'm working.
He's like, "What are you working
editing
on?"
Editing this picture.
How many likes do you get? That's what I want to know. I want to know her average.
Like, she's like, and he's like, "Well, I haven't posted at all since I've gotten home." She goes, "Well, like, what is that? What are you trying to say?"
Also, like if we knew,
I don't care how many times you posted.
That is a big part of a relationship,
right?
That I would want to know.
That was interesting.
But I do think like if we had known the rules going in, like if I knew that, like I think it needs benchmarks or posts. It needs, like, The Bachelor, the beauty of it is, like, you know where the beginning, middle, of end is. People know when they can opt out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rose ceremony that is signifying of an agreement to stay another week. The rose ceremony is always seen like, oh, who will he give the rose to? But it's also who will accept the rose.
Right.
It's a two-way street.
I agree.
So we need those rose moments, I think, in this show. That a better host, like, I don't need Nick and Vanessa there together. Get rid of one of them.
Yeah, there's no reason.
I don't
to
need
have-
two bad hosts. I need one good host.
Right.
Like, and I need.
They don't have to be famous 15 years ago. They could just be like a normal good host.
Put me on there. I'll fucking host the show. I would love to host the show.
You'd be like, listen, this is the phase where now you get to see if you want to have sex.
Yes.
Okay. Like,
the sex thing I thought was so interesting. I think that.
I think it also shows for women that it's really a lot mental if they can get there or not.
God.
It's so much. It's so little about like what the person looks like and so much. Because Mark's. Jessica made him out like he was some troll. He's not the tallest man she's ever seen. He's a good-looking
guy. Someone's foot. Right. Someone thinks
she's hot. Just like it's an entirely mental thing. If he had treated her like shit, I really think she would have been more into him.
Yeah, I guess.
Or held his love like you know what I mean, like withdrew it.
Yeah.
Or like did that game that
played a little bit different.
Yeah.
I
really do think it's so much more mental for women than it is for men.
I just think it is absolutely. I mean, this shows it, but like. It is so interesting how quickly the women were willing to air that, like to just be like, and think that doesn't affect a man's emotions at all. Like,
right. I mean, that's fair. But like also the guy, there's so many men who would say that kind of thing. They just wouldn't be on a show where they would get married in 8 weeks, I think.
Sure. I'm not saying there aren't
men. That weeds out some of the potentially more because this is. It's almost like a guy deciding to go on the show is sort of like a woman deciding like that she's going to just like have sex on camera.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like on Netflix. It's kind of like.
But do you think like, let's say, you know, Mark and Jessica, they see each other. He proposes and then they bring them off to do interviews and they go, Mark, what do you think of Jessica's looks? And he goes, yeah, I'd bang. Do you think he would look like any better? I wouldn't be shocked. He would look bad.
Yeah.
But that's probably a lot of their attitudes, you know,
I mean, that's a different show.
If it was reversed, though. Like,
that's not the guy who's trying to get married, maybe.
Sure.
The guy who signs up to propose to someone in 10 days that they've never met and then get married, that's so far from what any normal man would ever do. Even more so man.
But do you think that a lot of women's dating lives would be helped by a guy not having his phone and having less choice? Like, to me, this, like, to hear that 9 of them got engaged and they could only center on 6 is crazy. It's crazy to me because so all these men, they met them in there and they were like, even a guy Barnett, he's in love?
I didn't really understand what would drive him to do that.
But is the elimination of choice the experiment? Like,
well, that might be the more interesting part.
You know,
well, I mean, that's what The Bachelor is. It's like you have a very finite pool.
Sure.
Your pool isn't everyone, hot Pete. Like, it's not everyone in America. It's these 20 women.
Yeah.
And you have to choose between them. That person is much more likely to propose to someone.
Also, more likely to get to know someone.
Right.
That's the big thing. Because a lot of men are out here, like, and when the women write into our show, they're like, well, he says he's not ready. Well, I'd also assume that that person also isn't really getting to know you.
Right.
He's holding back from getting to know you for real. Whereas, like, in that pod situation, like if I opened a bar that was called The Pod,
okay,
like, would women seek it out for their first dates? If I opened a pod-like bar where you couldn't see the other person and it was only for dates, and, like, I've been making a joke on stage recently about how we should all just masturbate at the first date, like, before we meet each other. So, like, I've been doing a joke about that. And I do believe that a little bit, because I think a lot of, like, men would be a little bit different on these dates.
It's like there's
something about Mary. Yes. Get it out of your system. Don't go in with a loaded gun.
Mm.
Would a pod date get you, like, where you don't even see each other at the end of the date? Where you walk into the pod, two people start talking, and then they leave. Would that pod date, and then you can sign up, and then you click a, at the end of it, you hit a light switch, which is with a yes or a no,
mm-hmm,
for a second date. Would that create better dates than how we're doing it now? This is what I'm wondering. Would men be more infatuated with the women? Would it change the dynamic where these dating apps seem to favor men?
Right.
In the dynamic of men who are looking to fucking not get to know you.
I think what we learn, though, here is that, like, for women, it's like, there's more of, like, an X factor.
Mm.
So, but, like, I wouldn't do a pod date because I'd be like, I need to know if there's, like, a chemical thing, something and that's sometimes, like, I'll look at a picture of a guy on a dating app and he looks just like his picture on the date. And I remember feeling like, he does not, like, he looks so different than he did on the date, but I'm just not feeling, like, an attraction. Which I think is less of a thing for men.
Way less.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll be on a date with a guy who's, like, fine looking, but there's something about him that I'm just like, I don't really want to, like, touch him.
I mean, back to that Mark example, I don't hear a lot of women doing, yeah, I'd bang.
Right.
You know, yeah, you don't hear that from women a lot.
Right. I mean, like, we'll, like, there are actors who you think are hot or something like that, but, like, I don't know any many women who are like, oh, like, I'm really into that male model.
Yeah.
Like, male models for women are not, like, for guys, there's so many, like, there's guys who only date models,
you
right?
You don't see a lot
of women are not like, oh, like, I just want the hottest guy. Mm. It's not really the case. It's more like the thing that they want.
Yeah, you
the
don't X hear, I'm wondering thing. If a lot of male models get DMs that are, I'm sure they get sexualized
I'm
DMs.
I'm sure, there's a lot of people in the world. I'm sure there's some people who are like that, but sure. I think for the vast majority, it's more like, there's like a.
Does the hot dude with 1,300 followers get his sent naked pictures like a hot girl with 1,300 followers?
Definitely not.
No,
yes.
Not at all.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is also interesting.
And that's why I think a lot of these women, like, they get there and then they're like, I don't want to sleep with them. There's just not that thing.
Yeah.
Not even that they're not, like, attractive. It's just like they're not that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
I think we. Did we do
I
the show?
I think we did a really good... I think we did a good job. Yeah, I think this is a really good rundown of
I would love
Love
to hear
Blind.
Back from people if you like this, because this is a different episode for our show. If you're new to the podcast, go look. If someone sent this to you because they were like, oh, you love Love is Blind, this is a great podcast, go check out our other episodes. You know, we talked about this well enough for you to get this far.
We do. Obviously, there are spoilers. And if you want to... I hope you like the recap. And we will see you next week.
Boom.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.